Thursday, meet the new Plymouth. Thursday, enter the big Plymouth contest. But right now, Plymouth presents...
Henry! Henry Aldrich!
Coming, Mother.
Yes, it's the Aldrich family. Written by Clifford Goldsmith. Transcribed and brought to your family by Plymouth.
Get set for a new kind of low-priced car. Go to your nearby Plymouth showroom Thursday. Meet the new Plymouth. Yes, the 1953 Plymouth is a new kind of car. First truly balanced car in the low-priced field. And what a difference Plymouth's True Balance makes. A beautiful new look. A remarkable new ride. And Thursday's the day your Plymouth dealer says, come on in and meet the new Plymouth.
There's going to be a big Plymouth contest, too, starting Thursday. Your chance to win yourself a beautiful new Plymouth free or one of hundreds of cash prizes.
Full details from your nearby Plymouth dealer on Thursday when you go in to meet the new 53 Plymouth.
Families today are pretty much the same as families yesterday. Fathers and mothers and children never change very much from one generation to another. And the ever-present spark plug is always a typical teenage boy like Henry Aldrich. The scene is the Aldrich dining room. The time is morning.
Could you please pass the toast, Mary?
Another piece, Henry.
Yes, please. And Father?
Well?
Could I please have another egg?
Dear, that'll make three eggs.
Yes, Mother.
Henry, your normal appetite is rather frightening, but now you're eating like a man with a purpose.
Gee whiz, I do have a purpose, Father. I'm building myself up. I'm on the debating team.
You're on the debating team, dear?
Well, I'm not exactly on it, Mother. I'm really just trying out for it. They're having the trials this afternoon.
How did you happen to go out for debating, Henry?
Well, it's just sort of the kind of thing that appeals to me. Mother, would it be too much trouble to open a can of sardines?
Sardines for breakfast?
Well, everyone says that fish is brain food. Isn't that so, Father?
Oh, I don't know. It didn't keep them from getting caught.
Aren't you going to finish your toast, Mary?
Here, you can have it.
Thanks. And will you please pass the marmalade?
How much do you have to weigh to make the debating team?
Well, I don't have to weigh anything. But I don't see any point in going to a thing half-heartedly.
Well, dear, if you do make the team, I hope Aunt Harriet will come to hear you speak.
She just won't believe her ears.
Well, gee whiz, why should everybody be so amazed just because I'm anxious to improve my mind? I think everybody ought to improve their mind.
No sense in overdoing it, though.
Oh, I won't go overboard, Father.
On which side of the debate are you speaking?
On which side?
You have two sides, haven't you?
Father, they don't even have a team yet.
Do you really think you can make the team, dear?
Well, I hope so, Mother. I'd hate to be doing all this eating for nothing.
Though I don't think it'll be entirely wasted.
Oh, would you excuse me, please, while I run upstairs and get some notes I've got to use?
Yes, dear. Sam, I'm simply delighted.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Henry made a good debater. He's sort of a chip off the old block. He has a quick mind. Thinks fast on his feet.
Who do you suppose that is, Mother?
Don't bother to come to the door, anybody. Is Henry through eating?
Well, hello, Willie. Henry will be down in just a minute.
How does he feel this morning, Mrs. Aldrich? Is he a little nervous?
Why should he be nervous?
Well, you know, trying out for the debating team. It can be pretty nerve-wracking.
Well, Henry didn't act like he was nervous.
He didn't eat like it either.
Are you going to try out for the team, Willie?
Oh, no. I'm on it.
How many eggs do you eat a day?
Eggs?
Yes, to keep yourself in good condition for debating.
Oh, I'm not on the talking end of the team.
On which end are you?
I'm the manager. What I really went out for was the track team, but my legs went back on me.
What are the duties of a manager?
Well, for one thing, I correspond.
You correspond with whom?
With all the other managers. We get together and correspond. Sort of write letters, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's quite an accomplishment.
I'm sure you do it very well, Willie.
Yes, ma'am. I worry about it quite a lot.
And you persuaded Henry to go out for the debating team?
Oh, no, sir. That was on account of Ellen.
Ellen?
Yes, sir. Ellen Standish.
What does she have to do with it?
She's very pretty. And she's also on the team.
I know who she is. Mother, she's that girl that can talk your head off.
That's the one.
Ellen Standish?
She's very pretty, though.
But she is the one that talks a lot.
Sure. To everyone except Henry. And he figured that if he could get on the team, she'd talk to him.
Well, that explains Henry's sudden craving for the finer things.
Yes, sir. But she's pretty, Mr. Aldrich. It's been a great pleasure for me just to manage her.
Ellen! Ellen Standish!
Well?
I just finished my tryout for the debating team.
Oh, did you?
Sure. I thought perhaps you'd be glad to know I may be on the team with you. Are you going down the hall a ways?
I'm going into the library here.
Oh.
Say, Henry, is that you?
What is it, Homer?
Hello, Ellen. I just finished my tryout.
Are you going out for the team, too?
Sure, we'll all be together.
Oh. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Ellen. Ellen?
Henry, they said you and I should wait in the classroom across the hall until the tryouts are all over.
Okay, let's go in. Boy, I sure hope I make the team.
Well, what subject did you talk about?
I talked about how I helped my mother grow tomatoes last summer.
Henry, it isn't pronounced tomato.
It isn't?
No. In parliamentary procedure, it's tomato.
Tomato? Well, who do you know that calls it tomato? Did you ever hear anybody talk about French fried potatoes?
That isn't the point, Henry. Common people call it tomato. But when you're trying to make the debating team, it's tomato.
Hey, fellas, I got some great news for you.
You have, Willie? Did we make the team?
The faculty is in conference right now. I'll let you know as soon as they tell me.
Hey, Willie!
What were you going to ask him, Henry?
Whether I could give part of my speech over. As a matter of fact, Homer, I know a lot of people who aren't common who say tomato.
Well, Henry, all I know is that if I had to stand up before three members of the faculty, I'd be mighty sure I said tomato.
Boy. The part that makes me mad, Homer, is I could have just as well said asparagus and been on safe ground.
Hey, fellas, the meeting's over.
What did they decide, Willie?
Yeah, what?
Well, one of you guys is going to be awfully disappointed.
We are? Well, tell us which one it is.
Now, listen, Henry, I'm the manager, and I'll make the announcement when I'm good and ready. Besides, it shouldn't make any difference to you how they decide it.
You mean I didn't make it?
No. They liked Homer's voice better.
They did? No kidding.
Sure, it carries farther. They say they can hear your voice even in the last row of the balcony. Lucy Adams also made the team. Well, I gotta go back and attend to some correspondence.
Gee, Henry, I'm sorry.
Oh, gee, there's nothing to be sorry about, Homer. If you want to know the truth, I'm glad I didn't make it. With Lucy Adams on it and everything.
Ellen Standish is on it.
You know, Homer, we've been friends for a long time, haven't we?
Sure.
Well, I was just thinking. You've done a lot of nice things for me, so I'm going to do you a favor.
You are?
Sure. I'm willing to take your place on the team, just out of friendship, and I won't charge you a cent.
Why?
Well, don't you want to get off the team?
When did I say that?
Well, I shouldn't think you'd want to be on it.
Hey, Henry, what do you think?
What, Willie?
You made the team.
And I didn't?
No, you're on it too, Homer.
I am? Henry, that gets rid of Lucy Adams.
No, it doesn't. She's on the team too.
Well, whose place do I take?
Ellen Stanish's.
Ellen's?
Ellen's?
Yes, she just resigned.
There, Homer, now do you see what you've done?
It isn't Homer's fault. Ellen says she's entirely too nervous to debate.
Hello, Henry, congratulations.
Oh, hello, Lucy.
Isn't it wonderful?
Henry, I'm going home.
But Homer, haven't you heard?
Lucy, you don't think debating is going to make you nervous, do you?
Oh, no, I feel wonderful.
Well, I think I'll resign.
Henry, you aren't going to resign just as we've got our first debate scheduled, are you?
For when, Willie?
Didn't you know? For a week from next Friday night.
I've been corresponding about it since last August.
Well, who are we debating with?
Middletown High School.
The subject is resolved that the steam engine has contributed more to the progress of civilization than the horse.
Well, on which side are we?
The horses.
We take the negative?
Sure. We don't believe in steam engines.
Henry, don't you think the horse has done more than the steam engine?
I don't know, Lucy.
Henry, you don't seem interested.
Lucy, I just don't think I'm going to be any good at this. If I can't convince myself, how am I going to convince a whole auditorium full of people?
But that's the way I felt at first. Here, will you have a cookie my mother baked?
No, thank you.
They have fudge fillings.
Fudge fillings? Well, I'll try just half of one.
Here. Think of what the horse has done for agriculture, Henry. 60% of the farms in this country still use horses.
All right. May I have the other half of that cookie?
Sure, here. And Henry, how did the covered wagons cross the plains?
By horse?
By horse. Our forefathers didn't know what a steam engine was.
Well, that's true, Lucy. And do you always have cookies like this?
Oh, of course. See how interesting it is?
Well, it's beginning to show some possibilities. Excuse me for reaching in front of you.
When you get through with those cookies, Henry, there are some more in the kitchen. Oh, my goodness, I wonder whether that's Willie phoning.
Willie?
Hello?
Hello, Lucy.
Oh, is that you, Homer?
Yes, is Henry there?
Henry.
Gee whiz, what does Homer want?
Here.
Oh, Homer.
Can't you get away from her, Henry?
Not exactly.
Boy, do I pity you. Do you know what I dug up in the library this afternoon?
What?
All about the Eohippus.
The what-a-pus?
The Eohippus. It was a prehistoric horse, and it stood less than 2 feet high.
What was it used for?
I don't think it was used for anything. But I think we ought to mention it, Henry. It'll show we dug into it. They had 4 toes.
4? Imagine.
Henry, will you have another cookie?
Sure, thanks, Lucy.
Cookie?
Homer, did you ever think of this? How do they speak of a steam engine?
How?
By its horsepower.
Sure.
Boy, Henry, that's wonderful.
Write it down, Lucy.
And I'll write down about the Eohippus.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, honorable judges, worthy opponents, the subject we've been asked to discuss this evening is resolve.
Henry, do you have to wave your arms?
Was I waving my arms, Father?
Go on.
When we are through, ladies and gentlemen, it will be clearly seen that the horse is one animal that cannot be replaced.
What time does the debate begin this evening?
At 8:15. And boy, Father, we're a cinch to win. Where was I?
Hey, the horse is an animal that cannot be replaced.
Oh, yeah. What are steam engines made of, ladies and gentlemen? Of steel and iron and steel and coal. And how do they first get them out of the mines? I'll tell you how. It'll be a pleasure. Buy a horse. Father, don't you think that's going to knock him for a loop?
I'm afraid it will.
I prepared this whole thing in a week. And what makes pulleys go round? Belts. And what are belts made of? From horses' hides. And what was the first machine ever made? A cart. And what pulled the cart? A horse. And how about Paul Revere? It's common gossip, known by every school child, how he saved America with a horse. And then, Father, I go on and I end up with a long speech about the Eohippus.
The Eohippus?
Yes, sir. It was a prehistoric horse that hardly came up to my knees. Don't you think it's pretty good?
Well, it has one or two weak points, Henry.
Yeah, but, Father, what you've heard is only 1/3 of our argument. We've divided it into 3 parts. I cover the horse as a historical contribution. Homer covers it during the present, and Lucy covers it from the female point of view.
Henry, I've just pressed your blue serge suit for you.
Thank you, Mother.
And when you get up on the platform, don't turn your back to the audience.
Why not, Mother?
The seat is shiny.
Henry, do you mind if I raise 1 or 2 questions?
You mean there's something about my speech that puzzled you?
Well, in the first place, iron is not hauled out of mines by horses, but by mules.
Well, Father, I don't like to argue, but when you get right down to it, a mule is sort of a horse.
A mule is a mule.
I could show you a book that says a mule is a horse.
I'd like to see it.
Well, anyway, I don't think that's the point, Father. The question is, which has done more for civilization?
Well, supposing your worthy opponents remind your audience that the first cart was not pulled by a horse, but by a man.
No horse?
No horse.
Not even an Eohippus?
No, sir. And supposing they mention the fact that very good driving belts are made not only from horse hide, but from cow hide.
But, Father, you keep evading the issue. What I'm talking about is horses.
All right, then, let's talk about them. In what way did Paul Revere's horse help promote progress?
Well, it stands to reason. If he hadn't had a horse, he wouldn't have been able to spread the alarm before the enemy came. Supposing he had to wait around until the steam engine was invented.
And by what means was the enemy approaching?
On horseback.
In other words, it was a case of one horse trying to get away from a number of other horses. Therefore, the horses all cancel each other out and have nothing to do with the case.
Could you say that again, Father? Make it a little clearer?
I'm a lawyer. I don't have to be clear.
Henry!
Yes, Mother?
It's time for you to go upstairs and wash.
Already?
Yes, dear. Dinner's on the table.
Dinner? Well, gee, Mother, it's a funny thing, but all of a sudden something happened to my stomach.
What's the matter, dear? Have you lost your confidence?
I just wish I hadn't gotten mixed up in this darn debate.
Now, dear, you go upstairs and get washed. You'll feel better.
Yes, Mother. You and Father aren't going to sit down in front, are you?
We are.
Well, don't do that, Father. Every time I see your face, I'll forget all about horses.
Henry, please go upstairs.
Yes, Mother. I feel just as though I were sitting on the guillotine.
Sam, did I overhear you criticizing Henry's talk?
I was simply pointing out one or two of his weak spots. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, my goodness, Sam, now he'll just brood about it. You know how Henry is.
I'll answer the phone. Maybe the debate's being called off.
There, Sam, is a very good example of how you've unnerved him.
Alice, I give you my word, I was simply trying to help the boy.
Well, I'm quite sure that if I had to stand up before an audience of several hundred people, I wouldn't want my father to upset me just before I went on.
Henry!
Yes, Father?
When you're through on the phone, come in here.
Yes, sir.
Sam, you're going to wear your best suit, aren't you?
Just to go over to the high school?
Well, dear, I bought a new hat. After all, we don't want to be a disgrace to Henry. And I do want Henry to win, if only because of that Ellen Standish.
What has she done?
Well, Mary heard that Ellen got off the team just because Henry was on it.
Gee whiz, is Lucy nervous? Poor kid.
Well, don't you be nervous, Henry. Your father and I are trying not to be. What did Lucy call you about?
Just to say she's so scared she can't eat her dinner.
Well, you should have told her to have a cup of tea. That's all I'm going to have.
Henry.
I'm going up and finish washing.
Before you go up.
Is there something more wrong with my speech?
Well, I'd like to explain that the only reason I criticized your talk was to find out how much you believed in it.
Oh.
You see, if you don't believe with all your heart and soul that the horse has been more important, then the judges won't believe you.
Oh, but I do believe it, Father. Well, I suppose I'm a little sentimental about it. But it isn't just for my sake and for yours that I want to win. It's really for all horses in general.
Can I speak to you for a minute?
Where did you come from, Willie?
I just met the Middletown debating team at the station. And boy, have they made a mess of things.
How?
Well, we're taking the negative of the argument, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, so are they.
You mean they've taken our side?
Yes. Can you imagine a dirty trick like that?
How could a thing like that have happened?
Well, something seems to have gone wrong with the correspondence.
Willie, you mean it was really your fault?
Henry, I'd like you to see all the correspondence I've handled on this. I bet you'd make one or two minor mistakes yourself.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, Mr. Bradley, our principal, says our team has to take the other side.
The other side? Willie, you mean I have to be a traitor to the horse?
We'll return to the Aldridge family in just a moment.
What's new? The 53 Plymouth, it's news. The 53 Plymouth, the low price field has a brand new star. The truly balanced Plymouth, a new kind of car. A new kind of car.
New kind of car is right. The 53 Plymouth is new from the wheels up. A whole new concept of car design. New styling, new beauty, inside and out. A wonderful new ride. Plymouth Announcement Day is this coming Thursday. So plan now to make tracks to your nearby Plymouth dealers Thursday.
You'll be thrilled when you see the new Plymouth, delighted when you get behind the wheel and handle the controls. And here's a tip. Pay particular attention to the new features of the Plymouth. 75 new features in all. Because there's a big Plymouth contest this year with $25,000 in prizes. Just for telling what you like most about this great new beauty. First prize, a sleek, racy 53 Plymouth convertible. Win it and be the envy of the neighborhood. Next five winners get new Plymouth sedans, and there are hundreds of cash prizes.
It's fun, easy to enter, and you get full details from your Plymouth dealer. See him Thursday for your entry blank and meet the new 53 Plymouth.
And now getting back to the troubles of Henry Aldridge. Well, after working on a debate for 10 days... Henry has just learned that his team has been preparing the wrong side. The scene opens in the high school principal's office. The time is that same evening.
But, Mr. Bradley, it isn't fair to the team. It isn't even fair to the audience.
Henry, the mistake was made by our manager. The least we can do is take the affirmative and go ahead with the debate.
But in the meantime, how about the horse?
I think the horse will understand.
But, Mr. Bradley, we memorized our speeches word for word. I've even learned a whole eulogy to the horse. I can't just give the whole thing and insert the word steam engine instead of horse, can I?
Henry, why do we have debates?
Well...
In order to develop our faculties for thinking and reasoning.
But don't you see, Mr. Bradley, I'm no good at a thing like that. I can't argue.
You're doing a pretty good job of it right now.
But I'm losing.
Yes. But you're developing your faculties. Come in.
Mr. Bradley, is Henry in here?
Yes, Lucy.
Well, look, Henry, could we ask Mr. Bradley to do this?
To do what?
Why don't both teams agree right at the start that the horse has made the greatest contribution to civilization, and then let the judges decide which team is the most sincere?
Sure, Mr. Bradley, that would be interesting.
No. The Middletown team are our guests, and the least we can do is have a difference of opinion with them. Yes?
Mr. Bradley, is the school nurse here?
What's the matter, Homer?
Well, it's a funny thing, but I have chills and a headache.
Chills and a headache?
Yes, sir, and my jaw's hurt. I think I'm coming down with the mumps.
Didn't you have the mumps last fall, Homer?
But, Mr. Bradley, I've just been talking with the Middletown team. They don't feel half as keen about the horse as we do. Why don't we be generous and give them the steam engine?
Henry and Homer, you have exactly 30 minutes in which to prepare your arguments. Middletown will take the negative. And if Centerville is half the high school I think it is, we shall take the affirmative. What is more, ladies and gentlemen, members of the faculty, since the Centerville team has just learned at the last moment that it must change sides, it will, so to speak, be swapping horses in the middle of the stream in favor of the steam engine. And I suppose that the pitcher of water that rests on this stand is for the affirmative to make steam with and for the negative to give to their horses. The first speaker for the negative, the affirmative, is Homer Brown.
The question we have been asked to discuss was... Oh, boy. I mean... Ladies and gentlemen and honorable judges. Speaking of man's best friend, the horse, the steam engine, instead of boring you for my full 6 minutes, I believe I can prove my point in practically less than a minute.
What is more, ladies and gentlemen, when a lady who lives in Chicago sees a hat that she wants in New York, how do they get it to her? By horseback? No!
The next point I wish to bring to your attention is that little run of a beast, the Eohippus, that was never good for anything at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard both sides of the argument and the rebuttal for the negative. The Centerville team did not utilize all of its original time, and I do not know whether any of its members would care to take part in the rebuttal. If so, we will now hear from Henry Aldrich.
Mr. Chairman, Centerville High School has several things to say. My worthy opponents have tried to impress on you that if it weren't for the horse, we wouldn't have any steel or iron with which to build steam engines. May I ask, were they ever got any such idea as that? Horses aren't used in mines. Mules are. The next point. My worthy opponent says that the first cart was pulled by a horse. For his information, a man pulled the first cart. And now they're glad to ride in steam engines and relax. Then how did the Middletown team get here this evening? By another steam engine. And another point. My opponents would have you believe that if it hadn't been for Paul Revere's horse, we wouldn't be here in this happy, carefree land. But what was Paul Revere's horse trying to get away from? More horses. It was horses, ladies and gentlemen, that was causing all the trouble. And I ask you, is that what you could call progress? No. No, 1,000 times no. The affirmative rests.
Ladies and gentlemen, while the judges retire to try to reach their decision, a very difficult decision, I'm sure, the orchestra will entertain us with a number which they had rehearsed before they discovered their own team was to take the affirmative. It is called Light Cavalry Overture.
Sam, haven't the judges
reached the decision yet?
I think they're coming on stage right now.
Do you think Henry won?
I don't know, Alice.
Well, I thought he talked beautifully, and he certainly looked better than any of the boys on the Middletown team.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Quiet, Alice. Mr. Bradley's going to announce the decision.
After careful consideration, the judges have voted unanimously in favor of the negative.
Which side is the negative, Sam?
Middletown.
You mean Henry lost?
He did.
I should like to congratulate not only the winners, but our team as well. In spite of the fact that we lost, never have I heard finer examples of extemporaneous speaking. If I hadn't known to the contrary, I would have said that the last speaker, Henry Aldrich, had prepared his rebuttal in advance.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Fontaine?
I happen to be one of the judges. May I ask, was the negative Middletown?
The negative was Middletown.
Well, the manager who gave us our slips of paper to mark the verdict on apparently got things twisted. Regardless of which side they had, the decision went to Centerville.
Sam! Sam, we won! Let's go up and shake Henry's hand. I just wish that Ellen Standish's mother could have been here tonight.
Hello, Mother. How are you?
Henry, let me take your hand.
Gee whiz, it was because of you, Father, that we got the decision.
Well, I was worried for a few minutes, though. I was afraid Middletown would mention the fact that most of the British troops were not on horseback, but on foot.
You mean they weren't on horseback?
Not so far as I know.
Well, gee whiz.
Sam, have you seen the morning paper?
No, Alice. What's the news?
Listen to this. Before a capacity audience last night, Centerville High School defended the negative side of a heated battle in which they were particularly effective in arguing for the affirmative. Henry Aldrich kept the visiting opponents completely baffled to the very end as to whether he favored the colonists or the British.
Henry, is that you in the kitchen?
Yes, Father.
Henry, are you eating more cookies after cleaning out the cookie jar at Lucy's house?
Well, gosh, Father, a fella gets hungry all over again after walking home.
Now, Henry?
No wonder I'm always hungry. All I ever do is walk. Walk here, walk there.
If there's a hidden meaning to this walkie-talkie conversation, please bring it out in the open, because I'm going to bed.
Hidden meaning, Father?
I think the last time you acquainted me with your walking expeditions, it ended with a sales talk to buy you a car.
Oh, you won't have to buy this one, Father. It's free. A Plymouth convertible. First prize in the big Plymouth contest. Well, if I wasn't too young, I'd enter myself. But I figure with my help, you'd be a cinch to win.
Oh, please, Henry, not tonight. I'm a bit tired.
No, not tonight, Father. The contest doesn't start till Thursday. That's when the new Plymouth comes out.
All right. Remind me Thursday, and we'll go down and see the new Plymouth. Now, will you get up to bed?
Yes, Father, just as soon as I finish these cookies. Boy, a new Plymouth convertible.
The Aldrich Family is transcribed as written by Clifford Goldsmith. Henry is played by Bobby Ellis and Homer by Jack Grimes. Mr. and Mrs. Aldrich are House Jameson and Catherine Rott. Your announcer is Dick Dudley.
Good night, everybody. And remember, you have an important date Thursday to meet the new 53 Plymouth.
Tonight, it's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show on NBC.